Mel Gibson had a very specific depiction of Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, a tortured, long-suffering redeemer of humanity. That's not the only vision people have had over the last 2,000 years. In fact, in the last 300 years, Americans have often shifted their view of who Jesus was and what he was like. In his new book, American Jesus, Stephen Prothrow documents those changes from colonial times to the present. Stephen Prothrow, a professor of religion at Boston University, joins us from member station WBUR in Boston. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
There's lots of fascinating information in your book, but I think among the most interesting is Thomas Jefferson's search for the historical Jesus. Here's a man accused of being an atheist by his political opponents, but he's also dedicated to understanding the man at the center of the Christian faith.
That's right. Jefferson, while he was president, actually, sitting president, sat in the White House with two Bibles and a razor in hand and started cutting and pasting the passages that he liked into a big folio and letting the passages that he thought were false fall to the ground. And in the process, he created his own Bible, the Jefferson Bible, and his own vision of Jesus as a rational ethicist, a great moral teacher, rather than a supernatural God-man.
That, of course, didn't stop the conversation about whether or not Jefferson was an atheist or not.
No, that's right. I mean, Jefferson kept his views private, actually, during his life and only circulated them largely through letters. But my view of him is that, fundamentally, he was a Jesus lover. He was someone who really respected Jesus, thought he was the greatest philosopher of all time, but just didn't want to have much to do with Christianity. So he separated very carefully Jesus from Christianity and really opened the door for later Americans to make that same kind of discrimination.
You know, what's almost as fascinating as the stories about Jefferson is the absence of Jesus in the religious practice of the Puritans. These are people we think of as the quintessential American Christians.
That's right, and that really surprised me to learn that. If you look at Puritan theology and you read about popular piety among colonial New Englanders, you see that there's a lot of discussion of Christ, but really very little of Jesus. And I make the distinction between Christ as a theological principle, the Messiah, and Jesus, the person who has a personality that we might get to know. And Puritans just didn't think that God was really particularly knowable or lovable, and they focused their piety on this wrathful Father in heaven rather than on this loving Son. And it wasn't until the 19th century that Christianity in the United States really gravitated toward Jesus and moved from this God-fearing faith to this Jesus-loving religion that we see today.
And during the 19th century, Jesus went through several changes in personality that, I guess, reflected changes in the American character, from being highly feminized to being transformed into a virtual street fighter.
Yeah, well, after the passage of the First Amendment in 1791, we get a spiritual marketplace in the United States where religion starts to compete one denomination with another. And increasingly, ministers started to realize that in order to fill their pews, they needed to some extent to tailor their message to their audiences. And they looked out in the pews and they saw a lot of women. Women, then as now, outnumbered men by a considerable margin. And the preachers who started to preach to them, who started to preach a more sentimental, a more Victorian, passive, loving Jesus, did better.
And then, later in the 19th century, there was this revolt against the feminine.
Right, what happened is, right around the time of Teddy Roosevelt, the Spanish-American War, the Rough Riders, there were some studies that were done that showed how wide the gender gap had become in American churches, and a lot of the major denominations started to wring their hands about this problem. And increasingly, ministers, hymns, sermons, novels started to direct themselves to these men to try to get them back in the churches. And one way they did it was by pumping Jesus up, by turning him into this muscular, wiry carpenter who marched into the temple and cleansed it on behalf of his reformist religious agenda.
Right, chased out the money changers in the temple.
That's right. And so the images really, really changed, where Jesus would grow much sharper facial features and his musculature would really be pumped up. And he started to look more like Teddy Roosevelt than like a proper Victorian woman. And this is another example of a time when the culture, shifts in the culture, seem to really drive shifts in religion rather than the other way around.
Probably the epitome of this manly Jesus is represented by Billy Sunday, the evangelist, who describes Jesus as the greatest scrapper ever. And he prays, "Lord, save us from flabby-cheeked, brittle-boned, weak-kneed, thin-skinned, pliable, plastic, effeminate, sissified Christians."
And it wasn't just the fundamentalists. I initially thought it would be more just the conservative Protestants, but the liberals, the social gospelers, the progressive types also had this view of Jesus as marching with them in valorous, chivalrous activity. For them, it was going into the cities and helping the homeless and the poor and setting up settlement houses. For Billy Sunday, it was fighting against Satan and fighting against these old, flabby, sissified views of Christianity. But really, all across the spectrum, among Protestants and even among Catholics, there was this idea of Jesus as the manly redeemer, the standard-bearer of muscular Christianity.
So what is it about American culture that has allowed people to take this kind of license with this person who most people would believe is a historical figure?
Well, there's a number of factors. One is the power of Christianity to be almost everywhere in the United States. Right now, we have about 4 out of 5 Americans are Christians. And throughout American history, Christianity has played a really powerful role in shaping the culture. A second factor is the First Amendment, and with it, a culture of religious tolerance. So there's always been a sense that you could weigh in, even if you were, say, an agnostic, like Robert Ingersoll, and say, "Hey, I'm an agnostic, and not only that, Jesus was too." So this combination of Christian authority with the power of religious dissent has really been an important combination in American religious history.
If you look at Christianity in America today, you could roughly divide it into three types, I think: evangelical Protestants, mainstream Protestants, and Catholics. I wonder, do they differ from each other in the way they see Jesus?
Definitely they do. Not as much as I thought, because I went into this book thinking that there would be differences across the board, and I was quite surprised to find, for example, in the Teddy Roosevelt era, that all three of those groups really went whole hog for the macho Jesus. Similarly, in the 1960s, you see hippie Jesus across all three of those thresholds. That said, I think it's fair to make some modest claims about the differences. I mean, for one, Catholics are far less interested in Jesus than Protestants are. Catholics have traditionally approached God through a lot of means, through the saints, through Virgin Mary, through the sacraments, whereas American Protestants, both liberal and evangelical, have really whittled the religion down to this one avenue of approach, namely the person of Jesus. So I think there Catholics really differ, and that's where this Mel Gibson movie is an interesting wild card in that whole story, because that's really pressing into the public consciousness Catholic Jesus in the way that we haven't really seen it so powerfully before.
Stephen Prothro is author of American Jesus. He joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.